So if we're going to drop a microphone down into hell, a microphone down into hell, to Hades, to Sheol, to Gehenna, to Tartarus, to the abyss, to the lake of fire, ultimately, if you're going to drop a microphone down in there, what would you hear? What sounds would you hear? Would it be like the ones that Art Bell did some time ago? The Siberian, well, they tried to say it was sounds from hell. Who knows? Some made it sound like thousands and thousands of voices crying out, screaming. Whatever that sound was, well, it was horrific. No doubt about that. It was, but let's ask the question again. As we think in terms of, let's set aside all the aliens and all the satanic individuals and all of the Luciferians, and let's go as far as we can this week into the depths of hell, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus. Let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at it. Let's see the history. Let's see. Listen, if you had a camera, what if you could get a camera and what if there was technology that you can penetrate, you know, ground-penetrating radar, ground-penetrating, you know, the ability to see right into hell, what would you see? If you were recording the sounds, would it be individuals crying out in prayer? Screaming for help, warning others. What would it be there in hell? As you're listening right now, as I'm talking right now, as we're ready to jump into a week in which we dig into hell as far as we can. Don't forget there's people there right now. I mean, after all, where is Hitler? Unless there's a major miraculous change, what about Charles Manson? What about Jeffrey Dahmer? I mean, is there no consequence? Do we understand the depth, the radical depth of evil? Do we understand that originally hell created for the devil and his angels? But what about humankind? Let's ask some more questions. When you're in hell, do you know other people down there? When you're in hell, are you the same person? When you're in hell, let's ask the question, how many people are there? What are the sounds like? Are you even allowed to speak? What about the smells? And is there an issue of how long? Is there conditional eternal judgment, annihilationism? We're going to bring that in on the end of the week. What about the sights? What do you see down there? Can you move around down there? What about the feelings that you have? Hell, we're gonna dig down deep as far as we can. Well, without going there, that's for sure. Before we do, I want to tell you some things going on. This is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness live broadcast on this Monday night, the 4th of July, 2011. And it is hot around this house. I mean, I was up in the woods a little while ago. It's about 87 and very humid and 5 miles into the woods, totally soaked coming out. It was hot, but not as hot as hell. It was some grueling 5 miles out there with a leg, left leg, that's about 98% good, but not as bad. Listen, I hear all the time individuals saying, man, living this, I'm in hell right now. You know, we're going through hell. Really? Are we? Are we going through hell? At least we understand the connotation. At least we really do understand that connotation. Let me tell you about a email that came in, so I want to mention in case they're listening live or listening later. It says, Dear Pastor and Brother Russ, we thank our Lord Jesus so much that we have found your website, Shatter the Darkness, here in Germany, Berlin. I just got done praying for Germany, all of Germany, a little while ago as we're praying. We've had others that have, downloaded all over the areas of Germany, actually. I wonder whether anyone in Wailsburg Castle has listened or listens or downloads. Be interesting. We need to do an entire week just on current Luciferic darkness, chosen ones, And the belly of the beast, could that be in Germany? But some dear friends now have written, they've been listening, they've been checking out the war, you know, the website, and they have, it says here, they've been working for over 20 years, helping victims get out of the dark side. And they've got a lot of attacks going on. A lot of things going on over there. Some stuff in the sky. Some Refrium attack. Wow. And it's pretty... they're mentioning the concept of Nephilim among them. I'll take more a look at this newsletter to tell you about it. But a lot of engagement here. Teleportation, things they're talking about at the very end of this letter in which they're... And it's titled High Alert. And so we're going to throw up some prayers here today for these dear ones in Berlin, Germany, that are trying to lead individuals to Christ in the midst of spiritual warfare. I mean, it must be hot and heavy there spiritually, no question about it. Now, it says this, quote, "We will never stop helping the victims until our mission is finished at the return of our Lord, Maranatha." Now, I love that. I love that. And praise God, they have gone through so much but became out stronger. It says here, "Please keep us in prayer because," listen now, this is careful, listen, "in Berlin is the Pergamum altar, the seat of Satan." Did you know that? They took the entire seat of Satan, Pergamum, that was there, and it's now in Berlin. And they've got some powerful things to say here. It says, "We would appreciate to receive your current newsletters, and we're looking forward to the future Congress in July." So it sounds like they're coming, sounds like two sisters, that they're coming, missionary prayer warriors is how they term themselves. And they say, "We huge hug for all of you." And what an acknowledgement. So prayers, may God's hand go out and stretch out over these two sisters, prayer warriors, there in Berlin, Germany. Now, we've got a military soldier there, has bought the book Black Awakening, sets it out on their desk there in the military complex, helps out, and so prayers for that dear sister. And again, all of Germany, love the Germans. We know that the enemy has come in like a flood, no question about that. And again, in the seat of all of the European Union. As we say, the belly of the beast. We've got it here all around the world. The ramping up is all around us. But in the context of all this ramping up, well, we need to take a look at something. Maybe you haven't heard about hell lately. Maybe you haven't touched on the subject. Maybe nobody's preached it. You know what? There's even those that are skirting it, whitewashing it, and trying to change God and his attributes change the revelation of God himself concerning this issue. But I think it's so broad, it's so wide, and it is a... we're going to look at it. It's a place. There's a locality. It is spiritual in a sense. There's going to be a day in which everything in Hades, every single thing there, will be lifted up and thrown into the eternal lake of fire. Now, we're going to take a look at all of that. Why? Would a good God do that? Would God, who loves individuals, actually do that kind of thing? So, tonight, as we begin on a week that we've titled this week on the theme, the website shatterthedarkness.net on the web. It says here, "Hell's Forbidden Secrets Unveiled." We've got a 10 or 11 minute overview right up on the screen on that website. We have these words, quote, "Hell is a terrible place filled with anguish and finality. There's no grace there. There is no hand of God to pull you out. Is there a reason that the spiritual teachings that come from fallen spirits, the occult, cults, New Age, 2012ers, alienologists, old Gnostics, new Gnostics, they all dismiss the depth of this biblical revelation about hell? Does hell itself conspire to hide its existence and or seek to put a spin on what is revealed?" Another question, "Who are the sons of hell mentioned by Jesus?" We'll talk about that this week. I go on to say, quote, "In a day of mass spiritual and supernatural manifestations, where does hell fit in? in all the discussions, secret and suppressed, hell's existence is feared, mocked, and denied. This week, the details of hell will be revealed. I wonder whether, again, if there could be a listening. Maybe, again, like in hell, they're allowed to listen, but they're not allowed to speak back. I mean, in the one story in the gospel where on the one side of the chasm, the lost man, the evil man, the wicked man, the man that was in hell, in torment, in anguish, knew who he was, knew who was left up on the earth, saw Father Abraham, knew him, identified him, saw Lazarus on that side, comforted, cared for. On that side, the word paradise. It's used about three times in Scripture, but that's the description. Comes from an old Persian word, but Jesus uses that word on the cross. When he turns to the man that turns to him, receives the grace of God that God wills for every human being. Today you will be with me in paradise. Nobody else can say those words. If you are listening, whatever your background, whatever nation you're coming from, welcome all satellite listeners, welcome all internet radio listeners, and those, well, downloading, listening in the archives, whether right this moment or later on, may the hand of God reach you, strengthen you if you're a believer in Christ, save you if you don't know him, show extraordinary miracle in this day and hour, and I mean extraordinary, Acts 4, Acts 6, Acts chapter 8, extraordinary things that God does in the context of the reality. Listen, there are those that want to change hell, water it down, gloat over it, ignore it, all because there are those living in opposition to God, in hatred to God, and all they want to do is be able to slam and yell and scream and be angry at the concept that as if God did not have the right to judge, as if God did not have a right to contain radical evil, as if God didn't have a right. And the compassion for so many of us to contain radical evil, the demons, the worst of them, as if God didn't have a right. I wonder how much arrogance and pride there is out there that would want to look up and say, God, we want to change this massive revelation that you've given about a real place. What's there? What's going on there? Who's going to end up there? And how long? How awful. How unbelievable. So I'm going to say it again, whether you think in terms of Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, the abyss, something a little different, the ultimate lake of fire. We're going to give definition tonight to some of this. I'm going to say it again. It is the worst conceivable place of existence. I have no apologies in unleashing all that I can this week. Two goals. Let's bring out the reality of biblical revelation. Jesus spoke quite a bit about hell. He right off his lips, the words Hades and Gehenna again and again and again. And it was all about warning in the context of evangelism. It was all about identifying specific individuals, especially there in Matthew 23. I mean, there was clear definition of who would be there. Religious hypocrites, those who change the word of God, those who live out there as arrogant and pride-filled. Jesus made no apologies in speaking about a real place that has massive, huge impact concerning your destiny. So soldier and politician and mom and young person and college student, and they're the Satanist, and they're, well, wherever you're coming from, I have no question the Spirit of God will speak to your heart, speak to your life. Let me also say to those that are dealing with the subject, are you faithful to God? I'm not talking about you need to be red-faced, you know, your veins, you know, popping out in your neck, screaming some crazed fundamentalist type thing about, you know, turn or burn. That's not how I see Jesus doing it. I see Jesus sharing out of the context of warning. Not, and again, the massive revelation of the depth of the bulumai, the determined counsel of God, the passionate will of God, that none would end up there. That's what this rescue is all about. That's what this salvation is all about. When John the Baptist, the great righteous, you know, man of God, the Spirit-filled man of God that was telling the truth, stood up and saw Messiah walking, he screamed out, he yelled out, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." May I say again, that's not been said about anybody else. He came as a sin bearer. He came as someone to conquer sin, conquer Satan, conquer death, conquer hell's gates. I mean, let's talk about even the issue of the church being planted out there. And guess what? Jesus saying the gates of hell, Hades itself would not stop the church. I mean, we've got this huge and massive, incredible revelation. Now, let's, we can do a few things. We can go back into history. We can go back all the way to Sumer, to the Akkadians. We can go all the way back there when it talks about death. When they talk about death, when we can travel around the world and look at cultures, back to, you know, old China and then to the Aztecs and to the Mayans and among Islamic teaching and Buddhistic teachings. We can look at Zoroastrianism. We can look at around the world. We can look at the Oceanic teachings, and you can travel to the Celts and to the Brits and around the world. Other than maybe possibly Taoism, Hinduism, well, they all speak about there is a place out there. There's a netherworld. Whatever their terminology, whatever their use among the Romans, among the Greeks, Tartarus, Hades, there's no question around the world there has been clear belief in cultures about another world, about another place, about where the dead go, about where, even among the Egyptians, and about trying to get right, about trying to, you know, pay the price prior, about doing all that you can. Some of the definitions are incredible. I mean, throughout history, you can take a look at some of the definitions. I mean, we want to be able to say what Scripture says this week. And I'm going to say again that I believe that the Scripture gives the only infallible, detailed, accurate description of hell, as the Scripture also gives the only detailed and accurate and infallible definitions of heaven. And it is this great, awesome, massive revelation of God that in between the two, the cross. So whatever the background you are in right now, I can tell you, there's no question what I believe about it. I believe the words of Jesus. I believe the words when he warned believers, on a, what's called a hyperbole and figure of speech in the Gospels at times, the concept of pluck out your eyes. It's better to go into heaven with no eyes than to go into hell with both of them. The concept is so impressed. I mean, it is so radically impressed upon the hearers. He warns clearly and talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the hypocrites, not only being sons of hell, but leading others to, that they be also a child of hell. Are you a child of hell? Are you destined for hell? And do you know that you're not, do you stand up and say, well, you know what, I'm entitled to heaven. I've had a bad enough life, so therefore I'm owed heaven. Really, are you? Is there a reason for Christ on the cross and why he was slaughtered there and bled there and died there? Is there a reason why they tore him apart, mocked him, spit on him, nailed him there? Is there a reason for the sinless Lamb of God, God in human flesh, dying on a cross? Is there a reason that the earth shook? Is there a reason that there was an earthquake and the sun went down and the temple curtain tore and dead saints of the Old Testament came out of their graves? This wood between the worlds, this Christ on the cross. I think those that mock it, those that deny it, have an underlying fear of it. And if there are those that are embarrassed by it, I can only say shame on your embarrassment. The most compassionate individual in all of human history, Christ, I will take his word over yours. I will take his explanation. I will take his warning. I mean, what is evangelism all about? What is this summons of God to come to Christ? What is this rescue all about? What is it that we are being saved from? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, anywhere in all the world, millions in China, millions around the world, millions upon millions have, and some of you, maybe in the context of right now, this week, you will turn to Christ. You can stand up and say, I don't believe it. What? Well, what don't you believe? You believe in heaven? Do you believe in God's love? Do you believe that God wants you to be there? Do you believe in an indestructible, immortal body that's going to see God face to face? But you don't want to believe that hell could possibly exist? What do we do with radical evil? What do we do with hearts that are fixed in opposition to God? I was reading Rob Bell from the Emergent Church. I don't know if it was Love Wins or Velvet Elvis, and he's discussing the concept that there's going to be a lot of believers in heaven surprised when they're sitting down in heaven next to a racist. That told me instantly that Rob Bell has no understanding of what heaven's all about. You see, in his watered-down, whitewashed version of the concept of hell, trying to somehow excuse God from that revelation, not understanding the depth of radical evil and the permanency, the idea of being fixed in heart, in mind. Rob Bell, there's going to be no racist in heaven. That's going to be taken care of in salvation. Do you not know this? Do you not know the judgment seat of Christ is to deal with anything left over in the believer's life? You know, Charles Manson, does he get to go to heaven? Does he get to sit there among everybody else? I don't think so. Hitler going to be in heaven, going to sit there looking for a new re-education program down the road? Re-education beyond the cross? Something beyond the huge mammoth grace and mercy and work of God? Let's ask the question, is there something bigger? We're going to tell people, hey, listen, if you don't accept Christ now, that's okay. Later on down the road, there's going to be a new thing. Really? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. At this moment, God summons every listener to come to the living Christ. He does it with love. He does it with urgency. He does it with conviction. You're the sinner. You're lost. You have the sin code in you. You've got Satan's rights lodged in you. You're the one that did it. You're falling off the cliff. You're headed for the fall ultimately. What are you going to do? It is a Savior reaching down to you because he loves you, because he seeks you, because he's come for you. Everything can be fixed by what God has done in Christ. Hell is conquered singularly. I mean, it is conquered totally. It is conquered huge in a huge way only in Christ and the cross. The consumption of the vast underworld, the consumption of the vast netherworld, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, cross. The cross answers all of it. A savior so huge, God in human flesh. Well, I did read last night, this morning, a book by the author of 23 Minutes in Hell, the individual that had said he went to hell. I mean, I watched video after video. I watched the Baxter videos about those who went. And one thing I can say for sure is, man, they're out to get people saved. They're out to share Christ again and again and again and again. Their descriptions, I mean, it's amazing. I don't know. I don't know about that issue. There are those who say they've gone to heaven. There's those that say they've gone to hell and come back with descriptions. All I can tell you is, as Jesus taught in the Gospel of John, that ultimately the Word of God is the final grid, the only infallible grid that gives, it's what we use when it comes to individuals' experiences and visions and dreams and whatever else goes on. It is eternal. The Word of God is. It is infallible. The Word of God is. It is alive. It is living. It is what enables you, the listener, if you don't know Christ, if you are lost, if you are falling closer and closer, and let me say it, to the edge of hell. Without Christ, it is hell. That is your ultimate destiny. You can squirm, you can scream, you can say it's not right, you can do anything you want to. Ultimately, all of Scripture declares the justice of God, the overwhelming patience, and the heart of God. And we're going to go into that this week. We're going to unleash to you, not only like today, the reality of hell, the reality of containment, some of the descriptions, but we want to be able to give you, this week, God's consuming victory. Let me say it very clearly. No one has to go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But let's ask the question, do you have a better plan to save people from it? Are you going to just tell people to walk better, pay money, justify themselves? What is your plan on such a huge issue? If humankind, by moral choice, fatal moral choice, has inside of them, Satan has legalities, hell has legalities, sin and its nature, operative nature, has permanent reality and operative presence, and you're dying. You're dying in that condition. You're dying in this lost condition. I don't care if you're a radio talk show host. Doesn't matter if you're an officer somewhere or a soldier on a combat field. Doesn't matter what you've gone through to say, you know what, I'm going to justify myself because I've been through a lot in life. I've been through hell in life already. No, you have not. You haven't come close to being through hell. If you had 2 seconds in hell, I think that would change everything. But don't you think that Jesus Christ bringing about some revelation and warning and urgency over the issue, speaking to you about it, is that not enough? Is it not enough for God to speak about it? Is it not enough for God to give an answer to it? Is it not enough for God to have joy if you get saved and come to Him, knowing that you'll never end up there? Can I ask you today? I hope that you didn't think this was going to be a conspiracy moment going into concepts and thoughts and theories and whatever else. Hell is absolutely real, my friend. And you, in the end, will be there or in paradise with God. You can line up all your crystal balls, crystal charms, tarot cards. You can get all the socks together. You can get all the remote viewers to try to change, you know, tap into the Akashic record. You can do whatever you want to do with your own makeup religion, makeup spirituality. Let me ask you a question. Did it fix your sin problem? Did it fix your separation from God problem? Did it break the rights of Satan and hell and thrust into you the gift of eternal life? Did it justify you before God as if you've never sinned? Do you want your way or do you want God's way? Did you know that God came for you? Did you know that God on the cross died for you? Did you know the blood of the sinless Savior was shed for you? Did you know he bore the totality of your sin? Did you know that he did it to conquer that, to break the barrier, to kill the death code, to rip off Satan and hell's rights? He came to save you. He came to rescue you. The reality of hell, no question about it. The reality of a place of containment for radical, God-hating, God-rejecting evil. Let me tell you now, there's no redemption in hell. There's no evolutionary process down the road. There is no limbo. There is no purgatory. There is no conditional loss. If you're an honest person, take up 2 Thessalonians today. Read chapter 1. You ever do it? Everlasting destruction. Shut out from the awesome majesty presence of God. If you're lost, you're lost. You can whine about it. You can scream about it. You can spit at me. You can slap my face. You can kill me. Doesn't change the fact that a Savior died for you and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God has a way. God has a door. It's a sure door. It's the only door. It's the right door. God gave it. God gave it. That's why hundreds of millions worldwide, in China, in Russia, in Berlin, Germany, in Seoul, Korea, in Nigeria, wherever in all the world, God so loved the world. Gave his only begotten, the monogenesis. Do you really know who he is? I've never met a Gnostic that knows the living Christ and has the indwelling of the Spirit of God, nor the gift of eternal life. I've never met a New Ager with that. I've never met a Crowlinian, a Wiccan, a Druid. I've never met a Zoroastrian. I've never met a Muslim. I've never met a Buddhist, and I was around a number of them in the past. If you're interested in hearing about the infinite, immeasurable, awesome, personal, relational God of creation, he is the God of redemption. And I'm just going to say it plainly, you're the sinner. You screwed up. You messed up. And it's huge. And if you are lost, you have the possibility of being lost forever and ever and ever. You have the possibility of being in hell. If you die right now, where do you go? If you die right now, where do you go? Ain't no alien spaceship. The grays aren't coming for you. Not at all. There's no ayahuasca in hell. No Budweiser in hell. No rock star singing a party in hell. Nothing down there like that. As described by Christ. As described by the Spirit of God through the writers. It is the most horrific, almost no language to describe that place. It's a place of containment. It's a place of judgment. It's a place of consequence. You're not in control of heaven and hell. You, as a human being, can't bridge the gap. Educate yourself. You can stand as an angry atheist and lose your soul forever. You can stand as a world-renowned scientist sitting crippled in a chair declaring it's all a fairy tale and lose your soul. No air conditioners. No pizza. No cell phones. No texting. No gaming. No sex. as we speak, for thousands of years, there are those that are already there. Point C, on the notes that we have, on the website, www.shatterthedarkness.net, if you're new, there's an overview for the week. And then there's a broadcast quick notes in which you can write down, jot down notes as you go along. When I spend hours and hours lately again going over every single place that I can find in Scripture, the word hell, usually in the English is translated from, it's an old Norse word ultimately, but it comes down, and it comes from the word Hades and or Gehenna, which from the Valley of Gehenna. Let me go over these just carefully, quickly, really quick. However you look at the idea of hell, ultimately the understanding theologically, biblically is, you know, it is a place. It is, the people are alive. There is torment. It's about judgment. There are demonic presence. Pretty much description gives it as it being under the earth, but I don't know. I mean, it's dimensional also, so I can't tell you that it's just simply way down in the rocks. Because you can't dig out and you can't dig in. And let me just say about those sounds from Siberia. Art Bell put on Coast to Coast years ago, and many others have put on the, you know, YouTube and other places. And as horrific as the sounds are, I don't believe that they actually dug down far enough and got there. And I'm going to tell you by the prophetic revelation, it shows us there's nobody that actually gets to hell that way. Nobody that finds the abyss. It'll get open when it gets opened. Hell is hell. And there is clearly, as Jesus describes in the story of the rich man that dies and ends up there, he's alive. He knows who he is. He has memory. He's conscious. He sees across Abraham, which tells us he's been alive for a long, long, long time on the side of paradise. And there's Lazarus being comforted now. The one lost in the torment in hell wants some kind of exchange. Hey, can you send somebody, dip their fingers in water, bring it down to me, you know? I mean, every concept of the description is it is agony, flame, torturous, horrendous. He even tries to convince Abraham, you know, send someone from among the dead to go back and tell people of this place and warn them. Abraham does what the rest of the Word of God does, what Christ himself has done. No, the Word of God is so sufficient, so huge, so powerful that that is what God has given to humanity concerning this. The dead are not coming back to speak. Though in the context of the story, Jesus tells and gives a glimpse. Hades, you know, used the old Greek word primarily. It primarily means an unseen world, the unseen underworld. Whereas in the Old Testament, Sheol, and then in the Septuagint, many times Sheol is translated with the word Hades. But Sheol's primarily the place of the dead. It's where the dead go. As far back as Job, I mean, there's very little, really, very little depth on it in the Old Testament, in the sense that that's where the dead go. And it's very clear that here among the living, here in this living physical world, the dead can't praise God any longer. The dead can't do anything longer. The dead can't give any testimony any longer. And you'll find the psalm writer talking about, listen, if he goes down to Sheol, that he can't give praise and he can't, you know, there's a lot of things he can't do among here, among the living. So it's the place of the dead. Gehenna, though it deals with the Valley of Hinnom, it is It is, without question, this valley of Gehenna, this place where all the refuge, where all the trash, where the fire, you know, where it's lit because of the smell and dead animal carcasses and those who commit suicide and those who are criminals and human beings. So there's this picture of agony and people that are on their way to dying and animal carcasses and refuge and flames that are being there because of the stench and everything else. And so this most horrific possible place is again used. Jesus uses the term Gehenna. And then we have later on in the book of Peter, Tartarus. It's said where the Titans have been sent. Some think of it in terms of the spirits of the Nephilim. But it's also, again, a description of the netherworld, the underworld. It gives the description of a place of punishment. And that even the demons are there. So whether you look at the overall general use, the word hell, or the description of Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, Tartarus, you can do a bigger, broader study, but it comes down to, they all describe that it's a place, the place of the dead, that they're alive, that they're conscious, that they know, that they're in torment, that they can't get out, that ultimately this hell, Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, that it will all be lifted up and thrown into ultimate hell, lake of fire. Now I'm going to give broader definition of that this week, but that's where the sum total, it seems to be a very vast place, huge place. It's clear there's no annihilation of it prior to the great white throne judgment, so that there are those who are there and have been there thousands of years. They've lost. They're fixed. And at some moment there after the great... Now we're going to bring in the great white throne judgment. Do you know how huge that is? Do you know that demonic presence, demons know about the great final judgment? Do you know in the gospel they knew about the great judgment to come? Do you know that in deliverance, demons to this very day, they know about this judgment to come? There is a great white throne final judgment where a second resurrection. The first is all those who have turned to God and received God's answer, Christ, salvation, born of the Spirit of God, given the gift of eternal life, and the indwelling Spirit of God, who is the deposit guaranteeing the indestructible, irreversible immortality that is to come. The gospel is so powerful that it annihilates the totality of sin, the sin nature, Satan, hell, death, separation from God. The word of God is very clear when it says that faith, you want to know how to believe? Faith, God's enablement in your life comes from hearing the gospel. It simply means the good news that Christ, the gospel, is so huge, so powerful. Paul said it in the face of all of the empire of Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. Nobody, listen, it would be an insult to the Spirit of grace. It would be a grieving of the Spirit of God, a quenching of the Spirit of God to try to water down the gospel, try to kind of culturally contextualize it and fit it in. Anybody getting saved that way? Jesus Christ saves. The gift of eternal life is in Christ. The gift of knowing God instantly and for eternity is in Christ. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of empowerment, the gift of the Spirit of God. The reality of paradise, Jesus says to the man on the cross that by faith turns to him, calls on him, calls him Lord. You ever read Romans 10? If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Don't let anybody add to the gospel. Don't let anybody add all kinds of conditions. Repent of your sin and turn by faith alone in Christ and the totality of the gift of God, the power of God, and all of the issue of eternity. Is taken care of. So I send you a warning today to the arrogant who have done your rituals and to those who have stood in opposition. Mock all you want. Your mouth will be shut after 5 minutes in hell. No one down there mocking. It seems as though they're crying out. It seems as though from the story Jesus tells, they know where they are. They know that it's over. They know they're in the wrong place. They wish maybe it could have been different. Jesus Christ, he's waiting to come into your life. He's waiting to bring and summons and calls. Literally, the Greek word for summoning has the idea of solemn command. God calls you, the lost, hell-bound human being. Here is salvation. Here is eternal life. It comes from God. A price was paid by a sinless Savior who stood in your place. The sum total of the wrath of God, the punishment of all of sin and all of its consequences and everything included, landed on the sinless Savior, sin bearer of the world. I'm grateful. 37 years ago, Christ came into my life. I was washed instantly. Forgiven. The Spirit of God came inside of me. A new nature, a new life, the gift of eternity. I've known from that day to this the presence of God, His power, His might inside, come hell or high water, all around us. And yes, the church does battle the gates of hell itself. You think Satan cares whether you go to hell or not? Chosen one, you think Satanist, Luciferian, elitist, you think for a moment Satan cares that you go? All he cares about is your distraction. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. That Satan and the dark side, as described by Jesus in one of the parables of the sower, when you hear the word of God and the good news of Jesus is spread to you and the gift of eternal life is offered to you, and the way by faith alone in Christ is shared with you. You don't do anything about it right away. It is said by Jesus himself that Satan, in the parable, it was the birds of the air come and take away seed. In the description of that, Jesus says it is Satan that comes to steal the word of God out of you, so that you cannot believe and be saved. Are you a seeker? Will you open the Gospel of John and begin to read? Will you immerse yourself in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Mark, and see God in human flesh? Will you pour yourself into it with an open heart to God? I can tell you that today, the only reason we're here in this program, regardless of what subject matter we engage, it is for your ultimate hearing of the gospel. It is for you to be saved. I already prayed for you way before this program started. Raising my arms towards the West, all of the Western United States, through the Hawaiian Islands, into Japan, into China, all through South Asia. Then I pray towards the North, pray over Alaska and Victoria and Vancouver and all of Canada. And then towards the east where I stand, I'm praying over Pennsylvania and all of eastern United States, and praying out over New Zealand and Iceland and Greenland and Ireland and England and Scotland and Spain and France and Germany and the Scandinavian countries and the middle Mediterranean and into Russia. Arab countries, Israel, India, Pakistan, South Africa, the islands, South America, Guatemala, Mexico. Yes, only because of the Spirit of God and God's mission, that none would perish, that not one would lose their soul, that the will of God, the passion of God, the expressed emotional and the determined counsel of God. This is good and pleases God our Savior. You know what it says in Timothy 2? This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, desires, and that's passion. No greater will, no greater desire, no greater passion. Infinite passion. The desires, pos anthropos, all humanity to be saved. That's why I can announce to you again and again and again, nobody wants you more than God. Nobody loves you more than God. Nobody knows you more than God. God's got an answer. Do you, in your life right now, if you die, what goes on? You can have a billion conspiracy theories. You can be a survivalist in Montana and have food for 2 years and, you know, live with a lid up over your head and underground if you want. You can be an Eskimo in an igloo. You can be a Russian Psy warrior. You can be a scientist. You can be InfoGuard. You can be Echelon. You can be whatever. If you're a human being listening to this, the Spirit of God will speak to you about Christ, who loves you, died for you. This is huge. It's your life. It's your life. Live in lostness. Live in rejection. Live with the sin code, the death code. Hell has rights over you. Satan has rights over you. You're the one falling. Can you save yourself, really? The descriptions of Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, Tartarus, locality, place of the dead, judgment, punishment, eternal lost, under the earth, torment. It is a place in absolute contrast to the word paradise. Paul, out of the body, by God's hand, saw paradise. Revelation 2:7 talks about paradise. Jesus on the cross looks at a human being in personal interaction. God in Christ hanging on the cross, sinless, sent. The prophets knew it. All of them did. Samuel knew. Moses knew. Isaiah knew. Daniel knew. They knew he's coming. Emmanuel. Virgin. With child. Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father. Savior. Messiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would be upon him that he might preach good news. You ever read the first chapter of Mark? You can hang on to conspiracies, you can hang on to self-righteousness, you can hang on to fallen, finite spirits and all their dazzling. You can hold on to the ayahuasca, you can sit down in the temple, blood-soaked temples of the Maya. You can mock God, mock believers in Christ, human beings like you that simply believe. That's all I am. Just a stinking sinner, knowing what I've done in my life. Just living lost, selfish, sinful, ignorant, until the Spirit of God seized me and pointed me to someone so pure, righteous, clean. God in human flesh, Christ. I have no apology to tell you that Christ loves you, died for you, gave his heart for you. He is the only Savior and seeks to save you right now. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God in China, in Russia, in Finland, in every place at this moment. What are you waiting for? What is your excuse? Did the devil fill your head with a lot of excuses? Is your alcohol, your drugs, your sex, this world really satisfying you? You got a lot of joy. You got a lot of peace. I pray you turn to Christ. In the context of heaven and hell, there's a cross. In the context of reality, of truth, Jesus speaks about it. Jesus warns you. Jesus has come to save you from that. For every believer in Christ, I hope the Spirit of God will spur you on to God-filled, Christ-filled evangelism. It's what God is all about. It's the central, most important thing to God. It's the primary mission over everything that God is doing. It's where he stretches out his hand. It's where the Spirit of the living God is gone. It's where the angels are sent. It's where the body of Christ is sent. Every nation, every human being, to the highways and the byways. And as God has given us this gift, this privilege of coming to your highway, to your byway, to your home, to your place, to over 90 countries that download these archives, listen to me. A Savior loves you. God loves you. Come now to Christ. And I pray, do it like this. Do it like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know everything maybe, but I believe you. I believe you're the Savior. I believe that you're God. I repent. I turn away from these rot gut sinful sins and my lostness. And I agree, I'm lost. I'm undone. And I accept you as Savior and Lord. I believe upon you. Come into my life. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of eternal life. I accept you totally. I turn my life over to you totally. I yield my life to you completely. Jesus Christ, be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my God. I receive you. Any reason you can't do that? Any reason. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Shatters live broadcast on a Monday night. Rust Isdar, keep us in your prayers. Believers, keep us in support. Thank you.